from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the main points. Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono highlights U.S.-Indonesia partnership for democracy and peace. Indonesia and Iran explore prisoner transfer agreement. Now the news in detail. Indonesia-U.S. relations on their 75th anniversary have developed as a strategic partnership to advance democracy, peace, and common prosperity. This was stated by Indonesia's Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono on Saturday while opening a public discussion agenda on the 75th year of Indonesia-U.S. diplomacy in Jakarta. Sugiono highlighted that the general elections that both countries underwent this year reflected the strong commitment of Indonesia and the United States to democracy. He also described Indonesia's comprehensive strategic partnership with the United States as exhibiting firm relations and cooperation between the two countries. Minister Sugiono then highlighted his meeting with his U.S. counterpart Antony Blinken on the sidelines of President Prabowo Subianto's visit to Washington, D.C. in November. He stated that during the visit, the U.S. government declared its support for programs and policy priorities promoted under Prabowo's Asta Cita or IT missions. Indonesian Law Minister Supratman Andi Aktas received a courtesy call from Iranian Ambassador to Indonesia, Mohammad Burujerdi, to discuss the possibility of transferring Iranian prisoners in Indonesia. During a recent meeting in Jakarta, Ambassador Burujerdi discussed the possibility of an agreement on transferring sentenced persons between the two countries. He revealed that the Indonesian government is preparing an academic paper that will later be used to draft a bill on the transfer of prisoners between countries. He noted that the Indonesian Ministry of Law is meticulously studying the legal mechanisms and policies to be applied to the bill. According to Supratman, the bill has been included in the 2025-2029 National Legislation Program list. Furthermore, he explained that the government, along with the Indonesian House of Representatives, agreed not to grant pardon or amnesty for various cases of extraordinary crimes such as corruption, drugs, and gross human rights violations. Supratman expressed his gratitude to Iran for supporting Indonesia in jointly combating transnational organized crime by signing the bilateral agreement between Indonesia and Iran on mutual legal assistance in criminal matters and extradition in 2016. He also emphasized that Iran is Indonesia's strategic partner in the Middle East. Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia has asked state-run oil and gas company Pertamina to complete the refinery development master plan project in Balikpapan East, Kalimantan by July 2025 to boost oil production. The master plan aims to revitalize 5 refineries, including the one in Balikpapan, to increase the capacity of oil refineries in Indonesia. After reviewing the master plan to the project in Balikpapan on Saturday, Lahadalia said that once completed, the project would increase domestic oil output by up to 100,000 barrels of oil per day. Currently, the capacity of the refinery in Balikpapan is 260,000 barrels. Thus, he added, the project is expected to help achieve energy self-sufficiency as targeted by President Prabowo Subianto. South Korea's acting President Han Duck-soo moved on Sunday to reassure the country's allies and to calm financial markets a day after President Yoon Suk-yeol was impeached and suspended from his duties over a martial law attempt. South Korea will carry out its foreign and security policies without disruption and strive to ensure the South Korea-U.S. alliance is maintained and developed steadfastly, Han said. In a further attempt to stabilize the country's leadership, the main opposition party announced it would not seek to impeach Han for his involvement in Yoon December 3rd martial law decision. Han, a longtime technocrat picked by Yoon as prime minister, was elevated to acting president in accordance with the constitution, while Yoon's case moves to the constitutional court. Yoon's surprise's martial law declaration and the ensuing political crisis spooked markets and South Korea's diplomatic partners worried over the country's ability to deter nuclear-armed North Korea. Top diplomats from 8 Arab countries met in Jordan on Saturday, called for a peaceful transition in Syria with United Nations and Arab League support following Bashar al-Assad ouster. In a final statement after the talks in the Jordanian Red Sea port of Aqaba, foreign ministers from Jordan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Lebanon, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Qatar said they had agreed to support a peaceful transition process in Syria, in which all political and social forces are represented. Anti-Assad forces led by Islamist group the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, or HTS, toppled the longtime ruler on Sunday following a lightning offensive. A transitional government installed by the rebel forces has insisted the rights of all Syrians will be protected, as will the rule of law. The foreign ministers meeting in Aqaba in the presence of Arab League Chief Ahmed Abul Gait said the political process in Syria should be supported by the United Nations and the Arab League in accordance with the principles of Security Council Resolution 2254 of 2015, which set out a roadmap for a negotiated settlement. Thousands of Israelis demonstrated Saturday for a deal to release the remaining hostages still held in Gaza after more than 14 months of war against Hamas in the Palestinian territory. There has been guarded optimism in recent days that a ceasefire and hostage release deal for Gaza might finally be within reach after months of abortive mediation efforts. Palestinian militants abducted 251 hostages during Hamas' October 2023 attack, 96 of whom remain in Gaza, including 34 the Israeli military says are dead. Qatar, a key mediator in the negotiations, said last week there was new momentum for talks. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said during a visit to Jordan on Saturday it was the moment to finally conclude the agreement. In Egypt, President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi met on Saturday with U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and Middle East Envoy Brett McGurk. The meeting addressed efforts to reach agreement for a ceasefire and prisoner exchange in Gaza, Sisi's office said. Authorities in Thailand have arrested two men following a bomb blast at a festival near the border with Myanmar that killed three people and wounded dozens, police said on Saturday. An improvised explosive device went off on a dance floor at a festival in Umphang district in Thailand's northern Thak province on Friday night, according to local police. The explosion also injured 48 people among approximately 8,000 to 9,000 attending the event. Thai police said they had arrested a Thai youth and a man they said was a member of the Karen National Union, an ethnic minority rebel group that has fought the Myanmar military for decades for autonomy in neighboring Myanmar's Karen state. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's Spotlight is on President inaugurates Silaturahmi Tunnel, symbol of interfaith harmony in Indonesia. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto on Thursday inaugurated the Silaturahmi Tunnel connecting the Istiqlal Mosque with the Cathedral Church in Jakarta. This tunnel is one of the symbols of interfaith harmony in Indonesia. In his remarks, the president reminded that differences should not be a source of division. According to him, differences are actually wealth that gives strength, as exemplified by the country's founders and national figures regarding tolerance, empathy, harmony, and unity. President Prabowo Subianto said that interfaith harmony is one of the absolute requirements in the nation and state. He considered that Indonesian people from different religions, ethnicities, even races, have been living side by side peacefully for hundreds of years, and this must continue to be maintained and strengthened. The tunnel is called the Silaturahmi, or good relationship, because it is designed to facilitate visitors from both places of worship, the Istiqlal Mosque and the Cathedral Church, so that they can be easily connected to each other. The name Silaturahim or Silaturahmi Tunnel reflects its main goal of strengthening relations between religious communities through more direct and practical access. This tunnel also aims to create closer interaction between the two historic places of worship, showing that even though they differ in beliefs, both can be connected in the spirit of unity. The construction of the Silaturahmi Tunnel was actually completed on September 20, 2021. However, access for the general public has not been opened because there is still additional work that needs to be completed, especially related to the art decorations on the walls. In addition to functioning as a connector, this tunnel is also equipped with a diorama depicting the relationship of tolerance between religious communities, which is depicted through the work of artist Sunario with the theme Wat Hati or Heart Bridge. The diorama shows the historical journey of harmony between Muslims and Christians in Indonesia, depicted in the reliefs that adorn the walls of the tunnel. The inauguration of the tunnel marks its opening to the general public. This tunnel can be accessed from the Istiqlal Courtyard to the Cathedral Courtyard, or vice versa, to facilitate the activities of visitors and worshippers to the two religious buildings. That was this week's Spotlight. The first record in Today in History of Voice of Indonesia is from December the 15th, 1945. The Indonesian People's Security Army repels the Allied troops from Ambarawa, Central Java. After Indonesia's proclamation of independence on August the 17th, 1945, the fight of the Indonesian people did not stop. In several places, battles took place to expel enemy troops. One of them was the Battle of Ambarawa in Central Java, which took place from November the 20th to December the 15th, 1945. Quoting cambidikbud.go.id, the battle took place between the Indonesian People's Security Army or TKR troops supported by the people against the British Allied troops. The Allied troops entered Indonesia to handle Dutch prisoners of war held in Ambarawa and Magelang prisons by the Japanese occupational troops. However, the arrival of the Allied troops was infiltrated by the Dutch troops who wanted to regain their former colony that was seized by the Japanese and then proclaimed their independence on August the 17th. The Battle of Ambarawa ended on December the 15, 1945, when the Allied troops were successfully repelled from Ambarawa by the TKR troops. December 15 was then commemorated by the Indonesian Army as Infantry Day. Based on a presidential decree in 1999, Infantry Day was then renamed Kartika Struggle Day. Moving on to December the 15, 2005, International Tea Day celebrated for the first time. International Tea Day is celebrated every year on December the 15th. This celebration has been held since 2005 in tea-producing countries such as Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Vietnam, Indonesia, Kenya, Malawi, Malaysia, Uganda, India, and Tanzania. International Tea Day is intended to draw the attention of governments and the world community to the impact of the tea trade on tea workers and farmers and to link it to the demand for price support and fair trade. This celebration also represents the Global Tea Conference, which is held jointly by the trade union movement. I'll end Today in History with December 15, 2017, the Jawa earthquake. The 2017 Jawa earthquake was a 6.5 magnitude earthquake that hit Indonesia on December the 15th, 2017 at 11:47 p.m. West Indonesia time on the island of Jawa. The epicenter was 63 kilometers from Tasikmalaya, West Java, located on land, with the epicenter around Cipatujah. The earthquake tremors were felt for about 5 to 30 seconds in most communities on the island of Java. Starting from Pangandaran, Bandung, Kebumen, Yogyakarta, Pekalongan, Jabodetabek to several areas in East Java. The National Disaster Management Agency said that 4 people died, 16 were injured, and almost 5,000 houses were damaged in a number of affected areas. That was Today in History.
Listeners, in this week's Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answer their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to a letter from Peter Ng in Malaysia. He sent a reception report of VOI broadcast in English, which he heard on October 24, 2024 at 9 p.m. UTC, using the frequency 4755 kHz with the SIO444. In his email, Mr. Peter Ng asked to send him a QSL card and also the latest schedule of our broadcast. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for your reception report of English broadcast. As your request, our management will send you QSL card soon. Please be patient. And for the latest schedule, you can download at our website, voinews.id, by clicking Program Schedule at About Us category. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song for you, so keep listening to VOI.
Sama, tak seperti saat pertama. Aku bilang mungkin pikiranmu saja.
Kamu bilang ku tak peduli, tak seperti pertama kali. Aku bilang janganlah aku sendiri.
Dalam hatimu, oh kasih.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI. In today's edition, we'll give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Gama President praises regeneration of MMA athletes in Indonesia. President of the Global Association of Mixed Martial Arts, or GAMA, Alexander Engelhardt, praised the regeneration of mixed martial arts, or MMA, athletes in Indonesia. As quoted from the Kemenpora page Thursday in Jakarta, Alexander Engelhardt said, "This is not just about holding the GAMA World MMA Championship 2024 in Indonesia, but the spirit to start from an early age because they are the future." Alexander Engelhardt was in Indonesia for the GAMA World MMA Championship 2024, which was held at the Dewa United Arena, Banten. He also discussed with the Indonesian Minister of Youth and Sports, Dito Aryo Tejo, at the opening ceremony of the championship on Tuesday. In his remarks, Engelhardt expressed his admiration for the organization of the championship and appreciated the development of mixed martial arts in Indonesia. He emphasized the regeneration of young athletes as very important to ensure the future of MMA in Indonesia continues to exist and develop. He said that the holding of two MMA classes, U18 and senior, in the GAMA World MMA Championships 2024 is an important combination, especially for junior athletes to follow the development of their seniors to become successful MMA athletes in the future. Meanwhile, Minister of Youth and Sports Dito Aryo Tejo said that the holding of the GAMA World MMA Championship 2024 shows Indonesia's commitment to being ready for world-class sports events while advancing mixed martial arts, or MMA. The World Championship, attended by more than 600 athletes from more than 60 countries, proved that Indonesia was very capable of hosting the World Championship. In addition, Alexander Engelhardt also praised the organizational structure of the MMA sports brands in Indonesia, which he said was extraordinary because it resembled the world level. He added that MMA and pencak silat as native Indonesian sports can develop together. He considered Indonesia to have great potential to develop MMA and produce great athletes. That was My Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voinews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Now we will reply to an email from Mr. Anand Mohan Bain in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English through frequency 3325 kHz at 1 to 2 p.m. UTC with SINPO 4444. In his email, he also enclosed audio recordings about English programs. He asked to send him a printed QSL card. Hello, sir. Thank you for sending the audio recording as your reception report. After I have listened to the recording, I think it can be heard clearly, even though its sound is a bit small. Now it's time for me to play you a beautiful song, so happy listening.
¶¶ banyak yang ku lewati, banyak yang ku alami. Kenanganmu tersimpan di hati. Walau ku harus pergi, walau ku harus berlari, kenanganmu terasa di hati. Saat kau menari dengan tawa, rasa terkesima mulai melebur dalam hati ini. Dan ku telah arungi luas semesta, tapi tak ada yang mengalahkan indah parasmu. Terkesima mulai melebur dalam hati ini. Dan ku telah arungi luas semesta, tapi tak ada yang mengalahkan indah parasmu.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Tanjung Penghujan Beach in Central Kalimantan. Tanjung Penghujan Beach is located in Teluk Bogam Village, Kumai District West, Kota Waringin, Central Kalimantan Province. Tanjung Penghujan Beach is also often referred to as Teluk Bogam Beach because there are many bogam plants in the bay area. It is about 16 kilometers from the capital of Kumai District and 70 kilometers from the city center of Pangkalan Bun. Most of the Tanjung Penghujan Beach area is lowland with an altitude of 0 to 3.5 meters above sea level, generally sandy and with flat land topography. This beach has an area of 44 hectares, so it is an option for camping. You can bring equipment such as tents, cooking utensils, mineral water, practical food, and also a change of clothes. The beach wind is pretty cold in the afternoon and evening, so don't forget to bring appropriate clothes like jacket, for instance. When you have finished setting up the tent, you can collect broken pine branches for a campfire. Camping on Tanjung Penghujan Beach is very exciting. You will feel like sleeping in a tent accompanied by the roar of strong winds from the beach and also the sounds of animals. Camping here is free of charge, but what must be remembered is not to litter and follow the rules that have been set. The view of the beach is so wonderful, suitable for enjoying the sunrise and sunset. On the edge of this beach, there are trees and green meadows. Besides, there is also a gazebo with a roof in the form of a typical Kalimantan stilt house that can be used to rest and make you want to linger here for a long time. Enjoying the panorama of the expanse of the stunning blue sea and the breeze from the rows of pine trees that are not too dense is a shame to miss. Here, you can also swim on the edge and feel the freshness of the seawater, which is still very clean. To reach Tanjung Penghujan Beach, you can take the land route for about 60 minutes from the city center of Pangkalan Bun. On the way, you will be treated to stunning natural panoramas along the way to the beach, which is known for its sunrise and sunset panoramas. That was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again next time with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Before we end our segment listener's mailbag, I'll reply to an email from Abdel Hakim Boujema in Algeria. In his email, he asked us to send him some goodies like pins, keychain, t-shirts, pen, USB, magnet for ego from our radio station. Hello, sir. Thank you very much for enjoying our services and for reporting the reception of Voice of Indonesia signals in your area. We truly appreciate your feedback. Due to the large number of reports and limited resources, we will send the QSL card gradually. So please be patient and continue to stay tuned to our services and the engaging information from Voice of Indonesia.
Apa yang ku mau, ini aku lepas. Let's enjoy. freedom. Kini aku bebas, lakukan apa yang ku mau. Kini aku bebas.
Just enjoy the third song presented by Voice of Indonesia. Next, we have Miss Eleni.
Miss Eleni today is featuring President University student team wins Global Startup Competition 2024. The President University student team from Indonesia won first place in Global Startup Competition in Vietnam through MMORPG game, which is a role-playing game. Representing Busi Visi Studio, the students, majoring in information technology, presented their startup concept centered on game development and animation. This game creates an immersive experience through storytelling and cutting-edge design. One of the main challenges the team faced was managing time effectively. Balancing various commitments, they worked tirelessly to prepare a strong presentation, including designing a compelling script, training the promotion team, and editing high-quality videos to complement the ideas. Despite the odds, their team remained resilient, motivated by the belief that innovation can have a lasting impact on the games and animation industry. Winning first place was an incredible moment for the team. The achievement reinforced the team's commitment to pioneering innovations that redefine interactive entertainment. The MMORPG game team is inspired to continue building a studio that delivers meaningful experiences and positive impacts to audiences around the world. That was Miscellany today.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Ini hidupku, bukan hidupmu. Tak perlu ku mengikuti semua langkahmu. Ini mimpiku, bukan mimpimu. Ku dengar suara hati memanggil.
Jangan menahan kejahatanmu.
Janganlah berani percaya, engkau pasti akan kesana.
Jangan menahan siapakan mimpimu.
Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ku pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata.
caraku, bukan caramu. Cibiran kata hanyalah angin berlalu. Aku beranikan diri dengar suara hati. Janganlah berani percaya, engkau pasti akan kesana. Pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ku pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Cahaya di sana, kini aku melangkah ke sana. Tak peduli mereka, akan berkata apa. Ku masih bisa ubah mimpi jadi.
Of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's music corner presents a song entitled Apa Artinya Aku. Indonesian maestro of love songs Yovie Widianto collaborates with three young Indonesian divas, Liodra, Tiara Andini, and Ziva Magnolia, or LTZ, in a song titled Apa Artinya Aku, or Who Am I, released on December 13, 2024. The song created by Arsy Widianto, who is Yovie Widianto's son. The song tells the story of the bitterness of unrequited love, describing the feelings of someone who loves deeply but is only considered a second choice. In the song, Yovie Widianto returns with a beautiful musical arrangement with a sweet pop ballad nuance. The combination of piano notes, string section, and the distinctive vocal characters of the three singers, Liodra, Tiara Andini, and Ziva Magnolia, creates a stunning harmony. Well, listener, this is Yovie Widianto and LTZ with the song Apa Artinya Aku. Happy listening.
Begitu berharap kau setia padaku saat kulihat kau dengannya, kau berpaling dariku. Apa artinya aku? Saat hatimu
Voice of Indonesia.
Walau aku jauh, namun dekat di hati.
Kau tangisi aku, ku pergi dan pasti kembali. Doamu iringi langkahku. Relakan saja ku jauh, namun dekatlah di hati. Seperti bintang dan bulan, jauh namun selalu terang. Begitupun cintaku, terangi dalam sepimu. Tunggulah aku di sana, untuk bersanding denganmu.
Listener, thank you for listening to our English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325.4755 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fanpage The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official, and of course to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out, and bye for now.